here we are. It is Wednesday, March the 24th, 2021. Scott Spears and Glenn
That
Goble.
Opened my sinuses.
21 minutes past the hour. The voice. The music doesn't do it to you. It's the voice.
It's the voice, yeah. Yeah. Wow. And it's really harsh.
Oh, well, maybe you don't hear the... you don't expect the voice, but you expect the music.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to bring in my green headphones that I've used for a year.
Well, in any event, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And it's been a kind of a sad week, and just want to make mention of this again, that golden-voiced Ted Williams, one of our friends and many-time guests on this program, his longtime companion of 18 years, Kathleen Chambers, passed away on Saturday night at the age of 60. So we send our best wishes to Ted. I talked to him Sunday morning, and he's sad, of course. He's doing okay.
Of course, yeah.
But he'll be better, and he'll be back. And then we learned yesterday morning, got a phone call that Mary Ellen Withrow's husband, Norm, passed away at the age of 93.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. That is sad.
Yeah. He such a good guy, and talked about him earlier on the program about, he was, to me, such an enlightened person, because his wife started her political career in 1969 and really became acclaimed for it, mm-hmm. Up through 2001 when she retired from political life.
Sure.
And he was her husband. And this was a generation who a lot of their wives didn't work.
That's right. Yeah.
And I never saw him be anything but supportive of her career.
Well, that's great, yeah.
And he was a nice man. When I would run into him, he would go beyond being kind to you. He was that type of guy, and always right there for her. And they were married for over 70 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's a nice thing.
72 years, I think.
I think so. And yeah. And she was there yesterday when he left. So that's nice, and I think the family was as well, so that's good. But I always say my favorite memory of Norm, and I don't know why this sticks out, but when Mary Ellen moved back to Marion, I went to see her one day. I forget what we were talking about, but we were in a different room in the house. Her and I were in a different room, and Norm was in the living room watching television. And then Norm had went into the bedroom while we were talking in another room. And when Mary Ellen and I were done, I was walking to the door, and Norm motioned to me from the bedroom to come into the bedroom. So I go into the bedroom, and he was showing me one of his collections, and he laid it all out on the bed, and he was explaining all the history behind it to me and all these things. And I looked out, and Mary Ellen's just sitting at the kitchen table out there listening to everything. And, you know, I just thought, this is your typical married couple.
Absolutely, yeah. And sounds familiar.
Yeah, and Norm could not have been nicer. You know, and it was something at that point, because, I mean, we didn't spend a whole lot of time together, Norm and I, but, you know, just come into my bedroom, look at my collection. That was the type of guy he was. He was a very friendly, open guy, and a very good golfer for people who saw him golf.
That's what I heard.
Around here, a very good, not just a good golfer, like a could have been on the tour.
Yeah.
Golfer.
Yeah.
Type of golfer. And he was a postman in this area for so many years.
I didn't
and
know
a lot
that.
Of people remember him for that. So, but what an encouraging husband he was. And Mary Ellen would always talk about how when she was being attacked, or when she didn't, when she was having trouble with an election, that he was right there. He was the one who was encouraging her and saying, "You can do it." And, you know, that's a nice thing.
Yeah, it is. I know how important it is for a spouse to support you when you're running. When I was running both times that I ran, my wife told me absolutely not. She did not want me to run. But once I got going, she was very supporting, because you're gone all the time. You have to go out. You have to walk the streets. Now, with the COVID going on, I'm sure they didn't walk the streets. But I walked, 3,000, 5,000 doors. I knocked something crazy like that. And so you're gone every... Well, I was, because I was retired, the second time I ran, I was gone every day for quite a while, 2 hours, 3 hours, walking the streets, shaking people's hands. And Yeah, it's tough. You need a supportive wife.
Well, husband. It is just the times. But when you think she started her political career in 1969.
Yeah, yeah. No women went out there.
No, and to have a husband who understood that and was okay with that and supported it all the way through Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
I mean, that's a rarity.
Yeah.
And that's why I do think he should be praised for what he did. And you know, just by the nature of the beast, her name is on schools. Her name is in the Guinness Book of World Records for signing more money than anybody else. She will be remembered as the Treasurer of the United States and State Treasurer and County Treasurer. He won't, but had there not been him, I don't know what would have happened.
But he's in Wikipedia, right, as the spouse.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Because he did a lot of very good stuff. But, you know, I never got the impression that he wanted to be more than the spouse.
Yeah.
I think he had his career as a postman. He liked to golf. He liked that she had a career and kept her life going. But I think he was happy to just be her husband, and at that point.
Yeah.
Now, maybe young, I mean, he did have a career. So yeah. I think it's very nice. He's just a very nice man, and was sorry to hear that he passed away, but a good long life.
Good. Now, my wife, when we were first married, she worked for 5 years as a social worker. That's what she was trained for at Indiana University. And I was real proud of her as a working woman. But we decided that we didn't need to. I was making enough money that we didn't need to. I wasn't making a lot of money, but so she could come home and take care of the kids, and that worked out well. I told you before the show I wasn't going to mention this, but I am going to mention it. Speaking of sadness this week, my little puppy dog passed away on Friday, and people that listen to my show know that Cheyenne was my buddy, and she helped me prepare for my show, so I just thought I'd mention that.
And I said, we're all, it's tough, you know, it's, when you have a dog that long.
17 years.
Yeah, it's just a tough thing, and I know you've been dreading that moment.
Oh, yeah.
For almost a year.
Oh, yeah, I've known she was going, Sam.
Yeah. But you know what? Much like, I think, with everything, we think of the good times.
Yeah, and she had we thought she was in any pain at all, she had been blind since she was 3, so had we thought she was in any pain at all, we would have put her down early. But she wasn't, and she only, I think, the last 2 days she was in pain, and that's why we said goodbye to her.
Well, it is tough.
Yeah.
Pets are tough when you become attached to them, and it's why you don't name animals on the farm.
Oh, absolutely not. I asked. Let me tell you the story.
We're going to go to break. Tell us the story right after the break. We're going to break here in 20 seconds. You're tuned into WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't forget A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6 to 7, back in a minute. Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 B.C. than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 B.C., in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
31 minutes past the hour.
I was always impressed with, you were talking about farm animals. I was always impressed because I used to buy, you know, I'd go to the Sale of Champions every year for the credit union that I worked for, and I'd buy, I don't know, $1,000 worth of critters. And we never took them home or anything because we just didn't have anything to do with them. But one time I bought a pen of ducks. And this little boy was selling, he was showing them. He must have been 8, I think, maybe a little older, I don't know, but he was very young. And he came up to me, as all the kids do after you buy their critters. He came up to me, he said, "How would you like me to take care of them? We can have them fixed so you can eat them and stuff like that." I said, "Oh, no, just put your ducks back out on your pond." And he almost fell into my arms. He was so happy. And I just don't know how the kids handle that. Being raised on a farm, I'm sure you're raised a little differently than I was raised, where all animals were anthropomorphic. Is that the correct word? they could all talk.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, it's one of the terms in life that I think is important to remember, or phrases, I guess I should say, is that the way to get rid of fear, the antidote to fear, is knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that so many people fear death, even though they tell you they don't. It's because you don't know for sure.
Right.
You just don't know for sure. So there never is any definitive knowledge. And I love watching the most ardent people in life about life and death. They're just so ardent when they're in good physical health. They don't become so ardent in that last week or so. Something changes.
Well, and I've thought about that for quite a while, ever since I decided I was an atheist. And my opinion is that we turn to stardust. We return to where we came from. And I don't find that objectionable, and I'm not afraid of it, but I know that last week when I know I'm going to be moving on, I will be frightened, and I will be frightened just because I don't know what's coming.
Well, there are
nothing in my mind.
There are a lot of very ardent atheists who, on their deathbeds, all of a sudden find religion.
Oh yeah, that famous slogan: "There's no atheist in a foxhole," but there were.
But I think it was Ingmar Bergman who was so atheistic and so ardent about it. On the deathbed, all of a sudden, not so much anymore. Well, I think it's when you have time to think about it.
Yeah. You want life to go on. Of course you do. Because you want to be able to see the people you're about to lose again.
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand about atheism. Mm-hmm. This is what I've never understood.
Explain it all.
You go right ahead. Explain it all. What I don't understand is, okay, if you don't go to heaven,
yeah,
if you don't see the people before you, okay, why not? Because that's definitely the happier thought.
Sure.
Okay, so why not? Because we don't know for sure. If you knew for sure, if we could talk to a dead person and know for sure what happens, that would be one thing. But we don't have the definitive answer here. So why not tend to believe that, even if it ends up not being true? You'll never know the difference.
Well, and I've told my wife and family, don't fear for me after my death, because I'm leaving the door open. I'm not saying there is no God. I just don't happen to believe in a man in white robes, a Caucasian man in white robes, is sitting on a cloud waiting for me to come to the pearly gates. If there is something after death, that's good. It won't hurt me. But I have led my life. I truly believe I've led my life that if any God, and I'm using air quotes on that, any God would turn me down from coming into the pearly gates, it's not really a God I want to mess with because I've done a good job being a good person.
But isn't that more of an agnostic?
Oh, yeah. It's just easier to say I'm atheistic because people think it's a coward's way out to say you're agnostic. But yes, I am probably, most people would consider me more of an agnostic than an atheist.
But you don't know.
No, I don't know. And being an honest atheist, if you don't know, then you can't say there is no God. And I don't know. So, and maybe I'll find out. But the preachers that tell you you can't go to heaven if you haven't been born again, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. I don't find that anybody has any right to tell you whether you're going or not.
No, but I think, you know, preachers and priests and rabbis and all these, there's a lot of disagreement there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one religion has a pope, one religion doesn't, another religion believe. And I think there's always going to be, I just don't know why the disagreements have to be so heavy. And you know what? For most people, they're not. Most people, they just say, okay, you believe that way, I believe this way. Let's go ahead. That's one of the main problems I have with atheists in general, is they seem to be out. Like, I'll tell you, Bill Maher is one who I've seen. Made a whole movie trying to prove that there wasn't, or at least influence people that there was no hereafter. Now, that I don't understand. If you're an atheist, good. I mean, I guess that's your business. Why do you have to knock people?
Yeah, and I agree with you. The thing I hate about evangelicalistic religion is they're telling you you can't be good or you can't go to heaven if you don't believe the way they believe it. And the opposite is true. Bill Maher, I like Bill Maher. I listen to a lot of his shows. But if you tell me that you know there is no God and that you should be an atheist or else you're stupid, that's kind of...
And that's what he says.
That's the opposite side of the coin. You're stupid if you believe in God or you're stupid if you don't believe in God, depending on how you flip the coin. That's why I find it very comforting to say to myself, when I pass away, it'll be like it was before I was born. Do you know what it was like before you were born?
No,
you don't.
But that's why I think that's why atheism got a horrible name. And people do take atheism to be a bad word.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
And I think it came from that attitude that a lot of atheists have, like Bill Maher and Richard, Dawkins?
Yeah.
Dawkins. They are so ardent, and they go to college campuses and they go on television and they do call people stupid who believe, and it's so off-putting.
I think it's a defense mechanism for people that get tired of listening to evangelicals telling them they're not going to heaven if they don't get born again, if they're not born again. You get tired of listening to that crap. My father told me when I was 14, 15 years old, he said, I said, Dad, what should I be? And he said, well, when you grow up, you'll either be an ardent Christian or an ardent atheist. And he's right. I'm ardent.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I hear Glenn in the background there.
Yes, he is here. I'm here.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it, if you believe in eternity, then life doesn't have a meaning.
Life doesn't what? I missed
no
that.
Meaning if you believe in eternity.
If you believe in eternity,
what's life is... if you're going to live forever when you die?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I personally don't believe that. But
let me say that again. Life has no meaning if you believe
in
eternity.
Believe in eternity.
Right.
If you believe you're
forever.
Going to heaven.
Right.
Then the life you're living really has no meaning.
Yeah, I understand that.
But why would that be? I'm confused. I just explained that to me. I don't get it, I guess.
No special meaning, I think.
No, you spend 90 to 100 years here when you could be in heaven.
Yeah, I'd rather be in heaven if heaven is what people talk about.
But isn't life part of death, just like childhood is part of life?
Well.
I mean, I don't understand why believing that I'm going to go on forever would negate the life part of my life. Like my okay, because I like being an adult better because I can drive and do what I can gamble. Doesn't mean I wasn't a child. I was.
I love this discussion. This discussion makes you think.
Yeah, well, you can't. It's very hard to win this discussion.
Oh, yeah, you can't. And I try not to try to win this.
And hopefully that's why it's a discussion.
Yeah.
Politics and religion are two things you got to kind of stay away from because.
I did bad in both.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I was baptized, but that was when I was 12 years old, and I've learned a lot since then. So, I'm with Glenn.
Okay, great. I love having somebody with me. There aren't a lot of us.
Oh, yeah. That's one.
There you go.
Actually,
thank you.
Thank you.
Well, see, here's the problem, though. I want to go back to the evangelical thing here.
Sure.
Because I've never known, now I'm not saying they don't exist, but I have never known an evangelical or anybody from any religion to be as nasty about it as I have seen some, and I'm not saying all atheists are that way. It just, I've never heard a well-known evangelical say you're stupid for not knowing. I've heard atheists say you are stupid. I've even heard them amp the words up and say you're anti-intellectual. I've never heard an evangel. I never heard Billy Graham say you're anti-intellectual. I've never heard Joel Osteen. I've never heard any of these gigantic figures in the world of religion who do believe what they believe.
But you did hear him say, "Send me your money." And I think that's why so many atheists get so angry at the evangelical movement is because they are taking advantage of people by getting some of them. You know, they don't have any religion. They just want money.
See, but here's the problem. When I look at Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Now I have to look at then his documentary, which he did with his production company. And I have to look at his books, and I have to say, do you do that because you believe it, or do you do that because it's putting money, bucks, in your pocket?
Well, I think it's a little of two things. I think of course, it's money, and he's very well-to-do. But also, I think he gets angry, like many of us who are non-religious. You get angry at people telling you're going to hell.
Yeah, but here's the thing I have with, because I believe that most religions are considered 501c3 charities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if somebody from the Cancer Society or the Diabetes Association asks you for a donation, and they don't have it, diabetes or cancer, and you don't have it, diabetes or cancer, it is paying the director of the Cancer Society.
Yep.
It is paying the director of the... What's the difference?
Well, actually, there are a lot of movements that are fighting those 501c3s because they pay their directors $1 million.
They do.
$10 million.
They do.
And there are a lot of places that have exposed that sort of thing. And I really, truly believe that it should be exposed, but I don't think, I don't hold it against somebody that makes, $500,000 because they're the head of some 501c that's saving kids' lives. I'm not going to hold that against them as long as they're doing a good job.
Here comes the break, back in 60 seconds.
Hey, Scott, I bet you could not guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now, can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No, Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on the air, and the discussion today is about, well, it's not really a religious discussion, to be honest.
No.
It's not that. It's
not
more about how these atheistic, agnostic, and yes, people who are members of churches, handle the opposing viewpoints of other people. So, if you have an opinion, 740-383-9944, give me a buzz and we can discuss it. I really don't understand it, though, because, you know, no word gets a negative connotation unless people give it a negative connotation, much like Nazi. And I'm not saying they're comparable words, but if the Nazis hadn't done such awful things, Nazi would not be looked at as a bad word. And the problem is that atheists for so long were like Madeleine Murray O'Hare, and she liked the title of being called the most hated woman in America. She was the most visible atheist. She was the president of the atheists. Of, well, when that's your leader, you got a PR problem.
Well, you know, I read last year, I think it was, that non-religious people are the movement, atheistic people, agnostic people, is the largest religious movement in America. In other words, more people are becoming that than are becoming Methodists or any. But those of us who are, I like to think of myself as a responsible atheist. Those of us who care about other people, which I do, and I think as an atheist, you have to care about other people just like a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim. I think you have to allow people to believe what they believe. If you don't believe it, I don't like the, what is it called, missionaries. I don't believe that being a missionary and telling people how they should believe is the right way to do
it. Well, I'll tell you something interesting, because I'm a people watcher, and, yep, and I listen to people.
You and my wife ought to get together.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did that this past weekend at the North Market. It's just fun to watch
I
people
saw your pictures, yeah,
what they do. And it's not, I mean, I'm just curious to why people act and do what they do. Now, one thing I have noticed about atheists over the years, and this is different than any religious people I've known. And
all atheists are different, by the way, from each other.
Well, I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this is just a commonality that I have noticed between them. I can walk into a room and I don't know what religion most of the people are if they are religious. I know the atheist pretty quick.
I bet you wouldn't know me if you walked into a room and didn't know the
Well, I just, I guess what I'm saying by that is they feel the need to tell you.
Oh, I would never tell anybody.
Yeah, I just,
except for on the radio.
Well, I've noticed, and they almost repeat themselves. I found that interesting in
atheists. It's a defense mechanism.
Right, but What's to be defensive about? If
well,
you are,
they've been told they were rotten people all their lives.
Yeah, but are they? Is somebody telling them at that moment that they're rotten?
No,
that they're repeating themselves.
And that's why, if I go to a party, unless you know me, you would have no idea that I'm an agnostic or an atheist.
Well, but it's interesting because I can think about this right now. Now, I'm not saying I know everybody because there might be some silent ones, but I do know the atheist in my circle.
Well, I'm in your circle.
Right. Well, because you've told me.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know everybody's religion in my circle.
I think there are a lot of people, especially in the United States right now, that don't have a religion anymore. They've been shunned by their mainstream churches, and I think that's why there's such a movement for people to go to the evangelical side of things, because the evangelicals tell you what you have to do to be a Christian. And if that makes it a lot easier than somebody that just, well, when I went to church school when I was 14 years old, they told me this and they told me that, but they weren't very explicit. Now the evangelicals will tell you have to be born again, you have to accept this thing or that thing, and you have to be baptized this way or that way. They give you a owner's manual.
But you know, there are a lot of organizations that operate that way.
I don't disagree with that. I do disagree with telling people what to do.
Well, but I don't think you can ever, I mean, it's not a law.
No.
You can't, you just, I mean, I don't know.
You're shunned into doing things.
Well, I don't, I guess if you want to join that group, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's, only if you want to join that group.
But if you don't, then don't do it.
And that's the way I try to live my life.
Right, but I guess, okay, if I go down to a charity office and I say, I want to join your group, and they say, well, you've got to do this. And I say, well, I don't like the idea of doing that. I'm not going to work for your charity. I don't think I need to go criticize them because they wanted me to. I just didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, now, and there are a lot of rules and regulations that these 501(c)s put on you. I was asked to be a member of a certain religious organization that wanted to help people here in Marion. And I refused to join it because they told me I had to be a born-again Christian. And they told me I had to do a couple other things, which I don't think that has anything to do with being a good person. And so I told them I didn't want to join that. I used to provide money to a food pantry here in town from my credit union. We would provide them with some food and we'd provide them with money. And the nice thing about this particular food pantry is that they didn't run a police check on everybody that came in the door. Anybody that came in that needed food, they gave food to them. And I appreciated that. And I like not having all these. I like regulations, but I don't think if you're in the business of helping other people, regulations seem to get in the way. And I know people abuse non-regulatory organizations.
Well, I think we do this governmentally all the time. The fact that people can't run for office in the state of Ohio if you've been a felon at any point in your life, any point, that you lose your right to vote for a certain period of time if you're a felon, that people will continue to call you a felon for the rest of your life if you've served your time, you've paid your money, you've done your probation, and that's what they want to. This is what I don't like. I don't really care. Any group can make their own rules. Any group can do anything they want. People can make their own laws. That's fine. The problem I have is when somebody from the outside who is not a member or does not want to be a member of that group, for some reason, wants to criticize them. I mean, it's your right. You got freedom of speech. But I don't understand why we have to do that. Like, have you ever noticed in a newspaper, if a preacher ever does something wrong, that's exactly what the headline reads. Evangelical preacher caught in the act.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they were also a human being. Now, if the guy working at Whirlpool gets caught in the same act, is it going to say, Whirlpool employee caught in the act?
Might.
No, it won't even be a headline.
Well,
wouldn't even be a headline.
Only because Whirlpool is such a big organization. But if it said Ajax plumber caught, they wouldn't do that.
No, nope. Yeah. Same act, same citizen, same city, wouldn't even be a headline.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Because you know why? Evangelical preacher Kutniak sells newspapers.
Well, not only that, but hypocrisy is a big motivator for a lot of people who think they aren't hypocrites. But most of us are hypocrites
some
point.
But okay, so if an atheist is caught in the act, is that not
hypocrisy? What act would we be caught in?
Infidelity. Would that not be...
There's nothing in our religion that says you can't be whatever that word is.
No, but I think there are the laws of marriage. The wife can take a lot of...
If you're married and you've taken those oaths, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you can go to an Elvis impersonator out in Las Vegas, get married, and you won't have to say, yes, I'm going to stay...
Well, do you think a single person... I don't think a single person that would... I don't think if a minister was single, I don't think that would be a story. If it's a consensual relationship, why would that be a story?
Well, then you bring in the gay thing. What if a minister is gay? And
well, okay, see, but you're right. That would be a story.
Yeah, why?
But I can tell you what, though. You know, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. I have known radio hosts in this town. I have known city council people in this town who were absolutely gay. Knew it, absolutely. But they never said it.
Right.
Because they felt they could not be elected. They felt they could not be on the radio, that people would have looked at them in a different way. And you know what? That's not religion coming down on them. They weren't worried about religion. They were worried about the voters. They were worried about the audience.
Well, and that's, they were worried about their audience's religion.
Yes, but you know what? If the city council member had come out of the closet, the headline would have read, city council member comes out of the closet.
Yeah, it would.
Well, if the guy at Whirlpool comes out of the closet, that ain't happening.
No, that wouldn't.
And that's the hypocrisy of it.
Oh,
all.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons why the first time I ran for public office, I told nobody that I was agnostic or atheistic. The second time, I felt free to be able to tell people exactly who I was. And I got some pretty bad responses when somebody would ask, you know, that, what church do you go to? I don't go to church.
Yeah, but you know what? In recent years, I've never seen a headline like that. But in this town, I have seen convicted felon helps on campaign. I have seen...
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I have seen... That headline has run in the local newspaper. And I have also seen... I don't want to mispronounce it, but essentially, paraphrasing, first same-sex candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a second. Now, is that... Are you doing that to... Is it a gotcha? Or is the person doing that to try to be some kind of pioneer? I don't understand that.
Well, and I may know the person you were talking
about.
You
do know that person.
And he's a good friend. As a matter of fact,
I'm not saying it's bad.
He worked on my campaign.
Yeah. Well, he was here. I think we asked him during the debates about that.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of a gotcha, but it's also kind of a, in my case, I was proud.
Well, clearly he is. He could have said he wasn't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Other people have.
Now, again, I tell you that I was afraid to say that I was an atheist when I ran the first time. The second time I did not.
Well, here's the thing about that bothers me. Because that, and I'm not against that person. That person can do whatever they want, and God bless them.
Great guy.
Right. But he did not win.
No.
And that's fine, too. And it wasn't city council. Anyway.
No.
Pointless.
Yeah.
But anyway, may have been the first open gay candidate in Marion. Was not the first gay candidate.
I bet
in Marion.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, there has been more than one gay city council person that people probably have no idea.
That wouldn't it wouldn't bother me, first of all, but it wouldn't surprise me either.
No, but when somebody makes an issue of it with one person, is it because the other people aren't saying it? Because how can you be that... and it's not like they came up and told me, but you just knew who they lived with. You knew what you saw them in public. You knew.
Well, it was a huge thing when Pete Buttigieg came out as the first supposedly openly gay person to run for the president of the United States.
But was he the
Probably
first?
Not.
Right.
Yep.
And have we had gay presidents?
Well,
maybe.
I've been asked to portray a president in the president's dinner that we have here in town, who there were a lot of people that thought he was gay. He never was married, and I haven't done it yet because I'm not sure whether they want me to or not. But, I bet there have been gay men who have been presidents of the United States. But... had a wife so that nobody knew they were gay.
And we're out of time.
Okay.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be back.
And a Hebrew once went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods. The nights grew dark and lonely, and at last all of their food ran out except a piece of bologna. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream wins the piece of bologna. The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after seven, one of them said, I had a dream, I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony. Don't think you can beat that. I win the baloney.